God has been good. Amen. I appreciate the Sunday school lesson we had this morning. Amen. And then the Sunday service. I pray that I wouldn't run God out of here tonight, because I know he's here. Amen. I love the Lord, and I don't want to do anything to hurt him or to hurt his church or his people. I was going to try to sing a song. I think I'll sing it anyway. I'm not much of a singer, but I'm not singing this to you anyway. I'm singing it to God. Boy, I'd be going down the road in my truck sometimes, and this song would come to my mind, and I'd get to singing it, and I'd look like a big crybaby riding down the road in my dump truck. Why did he go to Calvary? Why was his life's blood shed for me? Why did he suffer as no man has ever done? Oh, yeah. There's just one reason, and I am the one.
Yeah.
He loves me. He loves me. Jesus loves me. He loves me. He loves me. Jesus loves me. When it seems no one cares for me, I talk to Jesus. He loves me. And I just messed part of that song up. Help me out. Help me out.
When I'm sad.
When I'm sad, he loves me. And even when I'm bad, he loves me. When it seems no one cares for me, I talk to Jesus. He loves me. He loves me. He loves me. Jesus loves me. He loves me. He loves me. Jesus loves me. He loves y'all too.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. It's funny, you know, how it seemed like this, the message has been going throughout the day. And then we're at choir practice, and David gets talking about Ecclesiastes. And guess where I'm going? Very first verse. Amen. Before we go there, though, I'd like to just have a word of prayer. God, Lord, I thank you for your love tonight. God, I thank you for a church, God, that cares for the people. God, I thank you for a pastor that God knows no end to the word love. God, his charities are greater than any man I've ever served under, God. And I thank you for our pastor. God, I pray you would give him his heart's desires and help his wife, Linda. God, help her to be able to enjoy their later years in life, God, together and be able to just travel like they're doing this weekend. God, I pray you'd help the church do like they did today, God. Come together, God, and worship you anyhow, whether the preacher's here or not. God, you're still here. We need you. We love you. God, I pray you just use these lips of clay, set me aside. Lord, please, please, Lord, don't let me mess anything up, God. Lord, if you're not here, then I just might as well go home. And the rest of us go with it. Jesus, I thank you and love you. In the Lord's name I pray. Save that soul nearest to hell. Amen. Amen. I promised that I would do this, and I'm going to do it. But one of my best friends, George, always did a joke before he started his message. I got one for you. Whether you get it or not is up to you. But there was this little boy standing on a corner, and he had this lawnmower standing there with him. And this preacher was new in town. He was walking by this little boy, and he says, "Son," he says, "what are you doing with that lawnmower?" He says, "I'm trying to sell it." He said, "Really?" He said, "I need a lawnmower." He said, "How much you want for it?" He said, "Well," he said, "Mister," he said, "really, all I'm looking to get out of that mower is enough to buy me a bicycle." So the preacher, he says, "Okay." So he leaves and he gets his bicycle and brings it back and he trades the little boy the bicycle for the mower. Well, the preacher takes the mower home, and a couple days go by, the little boy, he's riding his bicycle, and he goes by the pastor's house, and the pastor's standing out there, and he's like, "Ho, boy, ho. You sold me this mower and it won't start." He said, "Oh, it'll start." He said, "Well, I can't get it started." He said, "Well, let me tell you something, preacher." He said, "You got to cuss that mower to get it to start." And the preacher said, "Wait a minute." He said, "I'm a pastor." He said, "I don't use foul language like that, and I don't cuss." He said, "I don't know what we're going to do." He said, "How I'm going to get it started." And the little boy looked at him and says, "Mister," he said, "you keep pulling that cord right there, and it'll come back to you. You'll know how to do it again." Amen. I've had some machines like that in my day. Amen. All right. Ecclesiastes chapter 1. My message is not coming from here, but I got something I'd like to say here. It says, "The words of the preacher, the son of David, king of Jerusalem, vanity of vanities, saith the preacher, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. What profit hath a man of all his labor which he taketh under the sun?" I want to say something here. Let me go to chapter 2:22, and we'll read this real quick. It says, "For what hath a man of all his labor and of the vexation of his heart wherein he hath labored under the sun?" I've noticed in this church and other churches that there's folks that sit on this side, and there's folks that sit on this side. And some of the people on this side have never spoken to some of the people on this side. And some of the people on this side has never spoken to some of the people on this side. As a matter of fact, you wouldn't believe that in a church this small or this big, I don't know how you look at it, we're probably a small church, really. A church this small, how you wouldn't believe there's people that's in this church that don't know the name of some of the other people in this church that come here regularly. That come here regularly. Now, this is the conclusion I came to. Do you know why me as well, can't fellowship with some others in the church? It's because of one thing. We either think we're better than them, or we think that we're unworthy to talk to them. Now, I said this for this reason, because no matter which way you look at that, it's vanity. It's all about you. It's all about you. You can't talk to them because you're not as good as them, or you can't talk to them because you're better than them. And well, you know what? We need to get out of that train of thought in our minds. God loved everybody in this room the same. His son died for all, not just a few, not just the chosen ones, not just the ones that are perfect, but everyone. It doesn't matter because it's all vanity. Romans 8:20 says, "For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same hope." Now I want you to think about this. Vanity is supposed to be for the lost. But some of us have a hard time getting over ourselves. Now, I said all these things to get to this message that I'm going to preach tonight. And if you would, turn your Bibles to 2 Kings chapter 5. And we're gonna preach a little bit on a fellow by the name of Naaman. It's funny how it seems like here lately, in the last, I don't know, maybe a month or two, that all the messages has come out of 1st, 2nd Samuel, 1st, 2nd Kings, 1st, 2nd Chronicles. It's weird how that's happening. But I tell you what, I think God's got a plan in it all. I think there's a reason for that. And I think it's mainly because we need to hear these stories. We need to know where we stand with God. We need to know what God's done for other folks that he could do for us if we were letting. Amen. Amen. It says, now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord hath given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor. But, he was a leper. Naaman, a great man, honorable man, a man of valor, a mighty man in the sight of his master, but he was a leper. Leprosy is a type of a lost person. People with leprosy are a type of sin. Leprosy will eat you alive. And let me tell you something. If you're saved in this world and you're not living for God, your conscience will eat you alive. Amen. Let me tell you something, folks. If you're doing something you're not supposed to be doing, and it's not bothering you, boy, you better get checked out with God. You better make sure you're saved. Amen. Because when you got saved, God put something inside of you called the Holy Spirit. And that Holy Spirit's there to serve sentence to you, to let you know that you're doing something right or you're doing something wrong. Amen. And if you're doing something wrong and it doesn't bother you a bit, you need to get checked out. You need to check God out. You need to let God check you out. You need to get yourself right with the Lord. Amen. 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 Now, leprosy is a type of a lost person. I know and have known quite a few great men in the eyes of the world that because of their leprosy or sin died and went to hell. Better men than me have died and went to hell. Better men than some of you folks sitting in here have died and went to hell because they wouldn't accept Christ. Because they wouldn't allow God to interfere with their greatness. You know, it's hard to tell what God would do for you if you would just let him. It's hard to tell. It's hard to tell how far you could go in your ministry if you just let God have his way. But we think we got to have our hands on everything. The best thing you could do is take your hands off of it and let God have it. It says in verse 2, and the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away a captive out of the land of Israel, a little maid. And she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, would God, my Lord, were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. And one went in and told his Lord, saying, thus and thus saith the maid that is of the land of Israel. And the king of Syria said, go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel. And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 pieces of gold, and 10 changes of raiment. And he went He brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, "Now, when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman, my servant, to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy." And it came to pass, when the king of Israel had read the letter, that he rent his clothes and said, "Am I God to kill and to make live, that this man doth send unto me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me." Now this little girl told a story about what the prophet could do. The story got twisted around, and it made it sound like that the king of Syria or the king of Israel could do something for him. And the king got this letter, and he's thinking they're trying to start a fight with him, and that has nothing to do with what's going on there. This guy's trying to get help for his captain of host, Naaman. And it goes on and says, "And it came to pass when the king of Israel had read the letter," going down to verse 8, "and it was so when Elijah, the man of God, had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, 'Wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel.' So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot and stood at the door of the house of Elijah. And Elijah sent a messenger unto him, saying, 'Go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean.'" Now, I want you to notice something here. Naaman, in verse 11, says Naaman was wroth. Well, Naaman, he come hot over this ordeal. He was irate. He said, "Don't this guy know who I am? I'm a great and honorable man of valor. Who does he think he is, sending a common laborer out here to give me the message?" You know, sometimes it doesn't have to be some great, long list of things that you have to do to get an answer to your problem or answer to your question. Sometimes it's just a small little thing, and you don't have enough sense to see exactly what it was, and we get right by it, and we lose out on it. This guy right here thought that he was somebody. He surely thought that he was going to get to talk to the prophet himself. Naaman got mad. Read on. So surely, let me read back 11. "But Naaman was wroth and went away and said, 'Behold, I thought he would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leprosy. Are not Abana and Pharpar rivers of Damascus better than all the waters in Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean?' So he turned and went away in a rage." How many times do you think, or have you thought in your lifetime, that what you have was better than what somebody was offering you?
That's right.
Yeah, good. Amen. That's good.
You think that what you got is the greatest thing since peanut butter and jelly.
Yeah.
And in reality, what you got is nothing.
Yeah.
Naaman says, "Wait a minute, we got better rivers over here than they got. Why I got to go down there in that old muddy river? Why do I have to go down there and get washed? I'm going to be just as dirty when I come out of there as I was when I went in." Why did he say that? Because he was thinking of materialistic. He's taking the thing of the worldly ways, He was thinking about how the world would do it. He was thinking about how his master would have had it done, not how a man of God would have had it done, not how the Lord would answer his prayer. And he goes on and says, and his servant came near and spake unto him and said, my father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it? How much rather then, when he said to thee, wash and be clean? How much greater thing? This guy, you know, I'll tell you, I think this guy had some ultimate nerve. I mean, this guy must have had nerves of steel, because about all the stories that I've read in the Bible about great men, warriors and armor men and fight captains of the host and all these guys that I've seen in the Bible, that when they got that way, you didn't dare say anything to them because they would have your head. This guy comes to him and he says, listen. He says, what greater thing could it be said? You expected him to say, I guess expected him to just say, hey, I'll just take it away for you. You don't have to do anything. Or if you go down to the river Abana and wash off in there and then leave there and go to the river of Pharpar and wash off in there and then go down to the Jordan and wash off and then go back to the other two because they were cleaner. And when you get done all that cycle, then you'll be clean. He wanted to make it harder than what it really was. That's the way people of this world are when it comes to Christianity. They want to make it real hard. They want to make it harder than what it is. They want to make it so that they can gain something from it. They want to gain something from your experience with God. There's quite a few churches out there that you would have to pay to become saved. One way or another, you would have to pay to be saved. Or you would not, nevertheless, had to pay to belong to their church.
Yeah, that's right.
There's churches out there right now that the preacher watches the offering, and if somebody in that congregation is not giving, he would go right to them and say something to them about it. If you want to stay in this church, you need to start giving. Or just leave. Don't come back. If you want to stay in this church, you got to do such and such. If you want to stay in this church, you got to do such and such. Because this world likes to make things a lot more complicated than they need to be. A lot more complicated than they need to be. It goes on. It says, then went he down and dipped himself seven times in the Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God. And his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. You know what? I think that God got a hold of this guy, or he wouldn't have followed the directions the way he did. Why do you have to go seven times? You know, he might have been questioning that. Why do it seven times? Why can't I just do it once? Why did I got to do it seven times? Why couldn't I just do it twice or three times or four times or five times or six times? Maybe I could do it six times. It'd be doing the same thing. I'm going to the same river, getting the same thing done. But it wasn't seven times. It wouldn't have worked. And when the preacher tells you you need to read your Bible 7 days a week, and you're reading it one time, two times, three times, four times, five times, six times, but we don't need to read it a seventh time. We're going to church that day, and somebody's going to get up behind the pulpit, and they're going to read a little bit of the Bible to us. So that's the same thing as me reading it, and I'll get just as much from it. That's not what the preacher's telling us. That's why some of us are weaker than others. Because some of us are more diligent than others. Some of us want to do things, God's way, and some of us want to do it almost God's way.
Yeah.
We want to do it a little bit their way. We'll just go down to the river six times and not seven, and that'll be okay. That's my way. That's my way. That's not what the prophet said. He said seven times. That's what he meant. And I think that this guy, Naaman, finally caught on to what the prophet was saying and why the prophet didn't come see him in person, because he was testing him. He's going to say, he was testing this guy. He wanted to see if he was going to do what he told him to do. He was going to see if he would do what God told him to tell him to do. Said he was clean as a newborn baby. Well, I'll tell you what, you can get no cleaner than that. And he returned to the man of God, and he and all his company, and came and stood before him. And he said, behold, now I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. Now, therefore, I pray thee, take a blessing of thy servant. But he said, as the Lord liveth, before whom I stand, I will receive none. And he urged him to take it, but he refused. I want to stop right there for a minute and say this. You can't put a price on what God can do for you.
Yeah. Amen.
You can no way, shape, or form put a price on what God could do for you. If you could, then my God would be unjust. Because I know Michael Shane over here has got plenty of money in the bank. But he's getting ready to mess that up. Got plenty of money in the bank. And if he wanted to get something that belonged to God, he could just buy it. And that same thing that he's buying, I want myself. But I don't have that kind of money. Now, why would God do that for him and not do that for me? My God's a just God. You can't buy what he's got to give. Salvation is free.
Yeah.
It was a free gift. The gift of God to the world. And so many turn him down. We need to stop thinking the ways of this world and believing that we are better than others or lesser than others, and live more like Christ. We need to quit thinking we are something when we are nothing. The Bible says that we're not wise comparing ourselves one to another. And I tell you what, I'm not going to lie to you. Sometimes I catch myself doing that. Both ways. Sometimes I think that I'm a better Christian than other people are. And then sometimes I think, man, I can't measure up that guy for nothing. And that blows all of my fellowship. If I can't fellowship with the people on this side of the church the same way that I fellowship with the people on this side of the church, I need to get my heart right.
Yeah. Amen. Amen.
It's a heart thing. I need to get my heart right. And sometimes I do. And some of you have probably heard me say this before, and I'll say it again, and I'll say it again, and again, and again, and again. That's the reason why I sit right there on that corner, because I'm closer to the altar. When God speaks to my heart, I move right away. Because you know what will happen? If you don't, you tend not to move at all.
Yeah. Good preacher.
The things of this world are all vain. Naaman was a mighty man. And I know there's some guys in here that think they're mighty men. Naaman was a man of valor. And I know there's some men in here that think they're men of valor. Naaman was a great captain of the host for his master. And some of us in here think that we do more for our master than others do. But the thing of it is, we need to keep in the back of our minds, no two people in this room spend 24 hours a day with the other person. And I don't know who was preaching it this morning. I think it might have been Sunday school class, but it was talking about, I'll get it right here in a minute. It was talking about Elisha when he was in that cave. And he told God, he said, I'm the only one that's doing anything. And God said, no, you're not. I got a remnant over here that's still doing something. If you get that crazy idea in your mind that you're the only one that's doing anything, or we'll slack you off just a little bit. You're not the only one that's doing anything, but you're the one that's doing the most. You think you're the one that's doing the most. I've been there, did that. And you look around and you'll see other people doing things. And there's people in this church right here that do things behind the scenes that nobody sees.
Yeah.
Who in the world are we to judge them because we don't see it?
Right. Amen. Amen.
Vanity. The things of this world are vain. I'm going to ask you this question tonight, and I'm closing up right here. If you're here today and are not sure where you want to spend eternity or where you would go when you die, then you need to get saved. Now is the best time for that. If you're here tonight and you're lost and on your way to hell, right now is the best time for that. You're not guaranteed tomorrow. You're not guaranteed the next minute. And you Christians, if you have a problem with vanity, you need to get it right. And I'll tell you why. You need to get it right before you send someone you love to hell. Oh, it's not that bad. Oh, yes, it is that bad. It is that bad. Folks are watching you. Jesse kind of talked about that a little bit of choir practice. The people in that mall then are going to be watching us.
Amen.
People in this world judges others by what they see. That old saying is that what we do in moderate situations, that our children are doing access. And that's the absolute truth. Our kids are watching us. And it's easy to see. It's easy to see what parents are living what way and what parents are living another way.
Amen.
By looking at their children.
Amen. Amen.
I'm not judging anyone. I'm just saying you can tell it.
Amen.
You can tell. If you got a problem with vanity here tonight, you need to get it right before you send someone to hell. And it may be someone that you really love. Or it just might be somebody you work with every day. How many of you in here can truly say, I don't want to see a show of hands in your heart, that when there's a problem at work with another work family, when they have a problem, can they come to you, ask you to pray for them? Or do they see you just as another Joe on the job site that has nothing that impresses them? Naaman found out that the man of God wasn't trying to deter him or run him off, but he was trying to show him how to get better, how to get saved, how to get clean. And our preacher stands up here Sunday after Sunday after Wednesday after Sunday night, and he preaches to us how to get clean. And some of us haven't gotten it yet. It's not all about you, but it's all about him, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And if you need to pray, tonight's the time to come and do it.
Amen.
Let's close our eyes and bow our heads. Father, I thank you, God, for this opportunity to come and preach. God, I thank you for naming this story, God, of a man that didn't believe you until he seen it. God, some of us are that way. We're not going to believe you until we see it. Help us, God. Help soften our hearts, Lord. Help us to get right. Help us to get the vanity out of our lives. Help us to quit thinking that we have arrived and everybody else is still lagging behind.